Good evening. Tonight we will use the Office of Compline, which you'll find beginning on page 128 in the front part of your hymn book. And let us rise as we join together in the versicles in Gloria Patri. The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your anger toward us. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault in thought, word, and deed, for the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. By the authority of God and my holy office, I declare unto you the gracious forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May he who has begun the good work of faith in you carry it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. Amen. Let us now join in singing our hymn as indicated on the sheet.
Thank you. His presence always leads us till time no more shall be. Christ's strength, His love, His comfort gives us His victory.
Please join me in the reading of the psalmody for tonight. We use the first six verses of Psalm 72, which you will find on page 182. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. You may be seated for the reading. Our reading tonight is taken from the final verses of the Gospel of St. Matthew in chapter 28, beginning with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. 2 summers ago, I had the privilege of going over to Ukraine, and I stayed with the family for 3 weeks and got to know them very well. The gentleman that was the father of the house was about a year or two younger than I am, and we got to be very close friends after those 3 weeks were done. Just got a letter from them at Christmas time, in fact. When I first arrived, it kind of struck me how absolutely different our lives were from each other, being in a completely different culture and country, and seeing how their clothing was different. He wore very strange shoes compared to the ones I had. I'm sure he thought mine were strange. Some of the food that they ate was very different to me. The music that they listened to was not what I would be familiar with, and of course the language was rather different. How they interacted with their government was different too. If you were going to rent a car, you went to your government to do that. Not like over here. And cars, speaking about cars, the cars they had were all 30 years old and barely worked. And rather a unique place. One day I went out for a walk down to the drugstore in a town about like Mankato. And as I turned the corner to go down the street, I suddenly looked and there was a herd of about 50 goats coming right at me, walked all around me. We had a lot of things that were completely different from my world and my life. But the more I got to know my friend, the more I realized how alike we were as well, how similar we were. His love for his family, his concern for his daughter and her future, for his wife as well. While I was there, his father died, and I watched him go through the grieving process and all of the things related to that as well. And we at times would have conversations, and even though our language was different, we could communicate a little bit. And he would talk to me about the struggles of being a Christian in a very difficult environment. And he would talk to me about his own struggles with his own sinful nature and how challenging it was for him to hang on to the gospel. And I soon realized that If I had been permitted by God to grow up in Ukraine, I could very easily have been him. At the core, all human beings have the same issues and needs as one another. We all wrestle with sin, the troubles with sin that are in the world and cultures in which we live, but more importantly, the sin that's inside of each one of us, the guilt that we feel, our consciences prick at us when we know that we've done or said things wrong, the fear that produces in us about what God must think of us or what it would be like for someone else to find out something about us. Dealing with that guilt on our hearts, the fact that we have death in front of us, the fact that there's a grave waiting for everybody here tonight. All of those things, and then thinking beyond this life into eternity and so on, and the potential judgment scene, what's going to happen to me? That question is common to every person around the world, no matter what kind of shoes they wear or what kind of language they speak. In the text before us, our Lord Jesus gives us this great commission to go into this world and all the various nations of the world and to bring the knowledge of him, because he alone is the medicine that answers these core issues that absolutely every person needs to have answered. This precious gospel that we have been entrusted with as members of Christ Church, the very gospel that he wants us to take out into the world, is, on the one hand, extremely inclusive, and on the other hand, extremely exclusive. Let's talk about what we mean by that. The gospel is all inclusive in this way, that the sacrifice which our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross when he went to Calvary, that atonement, that blood that was shed, the holy blood for the sins of the world, was for all people. And you and I now can carry that wonderful grace of God to every person. There are no qualifications. There are no strings attached as to who can hear it and who can receive it. No one is beyond the reach of the blood of Christ. Our Lord tells us through the pen of Paul that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God would have all men, all people, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you can see this evangelistic, all-inclusive gospel right in the few years of our Lord's ministry himself. We see him speaking to the woman at the well that maybe nobody else from his community would have talked to, and sharing with her the wonderful knowledge of the water of life. We see him praising the faith of the Roman centurion from a pagan legion that had come to control and occupy Palestine. And yet, in his love for the true God that he had come to know through the Old Testament scriptures, this man had built a synagogue for that local community in Capernaum. We think of the thief on the cross, the scum of the earth, despised by society, put to death by them. He was so evil and vicious. And yet, in his dying moments, penitent, the Lord so graciously speaks to him and includes him in his work. We think of the prostitute and so on, many others in the ministry of Christ, that Jesus demonstrates to us over and over again just how all-inclusive his grace and the message of salvation would be. And that's comforting for me, and I hope you find it comforting for you too. If God had put any condition on the gospel, if he had put any strings attached as to who could be now justified before his throne, if there was any little qualification that took place, that would put nothing but doubt and uncertainty in your heart. Am I included in that? If God had said that Christ came to pay for the sins of most people, what would your first thought be? Or if it said that those who are good people, God now has sent Christ for them, what would be your first thought and your first question? But the fact that the gospel is all-inclusive, that our justification has been entirely done for all people, and God has reconciled the whole world to himself, that means that it is the most personal and the most comforting for you and me. Because that means that you cannot legitimately get out and away from God's grace. I don't care who you are tonight, where you're from, what your background is, your nationality, your sins, your wickedness, your evil. I don't care how badly your conscience troubles you right now. I don't care how close to death you are or how far away from death you are. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you. Even if you don't believe it, and I hope you do, but even if you refuse to believe it and accept it, that work of justification, divine justification before the throne of God has been accomplished for you. And God would have you take that home tonight. And you can see this all-inclusive quality not only in what the Bible describes about the work of Christ, but even in the way that the gospel is to go out into the world. Just think of the things that God could have picked as far as how you get the gospel. He could have picked shavings off of the tusk of a woolly mammoth. Well, where are you going to find that? He could have picked a particular grape that grows only in a certain portion of Italy. But instead, what God has chosen to do is to place the power of connecting us to our Savior in things that you can find everywhere in the world, in every country of the world. Water, simple H2O. Words, human language. Think how many languages the Bible has been translated into to bring the message of Christ around the world. Bread and wine, elements that you find in every culture. In fact, the word wine is almost identical in every language because it's such a universal drink in the world. God has shown the all-inclusive nature of the gospel right in the means of grace that he has chosen to use to bring Christ out to people in this world. Now, even though the gospel is all-inclusive in terms of who it is to reach, at the same time, that very same gospel is very, very exclusive and tight in this regard. Not as far as who it's for, but our Lord says that it is only through faith in him, only trusting in him alone, that we possess the treasures of heaven. Jesus said those very familiar words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Peter said, "Salvation, getting to heaven, belongs to no other name under heaven. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, except for that of Christ Jesus." And so the gospel is all-inclusive for every person in the world who's ever lived. At the same time, it is exclusive in this, that it is only through faith in this Christ that someone can possess that wonderful treasure. That is why Jesus has to say to the members of his church this beautiful command, "Go! Go and make disciples," because they're not going to find out about it unless the seed is planted, unless word and sacrament are brought to them. The heathen out there will never find out about this wonderful treasure unless you, the members of my church, do it, unless you bring it to them. Think of it. God could have picked angels to do this work. He could have picked soldiers and armies or something in nature, but he has given this tremendous task, which sometimes may seem overwhelming, but lo, he's with us always. He has given this amazing task to people just like us, people that have benefited from the gospel in our own lives. How fantastic this is that we have been regenerated by God, by the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts, to now hold on to Christ for our salvation and to know what it means to have our sins forgiven and to know that we get to go to heaven for sure. And he now takes those very people whose hearts he has jerked with the gospel and grabbed onto, and he now uses them in this tremendous work. And nobody else. There's no one else in the world except those who've been called by the gospel who are going to go do this. So, how can we who have tasted from the living springs of water of the gospel, how can we sit and drench ourselves in the fountain of that grace of God and drink it up? How can we not want to turn and invite others to come to that same fountain? When John and Peter were caught by the Jewish authorities in the very early days of the church and pulled in front of the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts, and they were chewed out for preaching about this new Messiah, the Christ, and so on, and they were ordered by the members of the Sanhedrin to stop this and to no longer speak about Jesus, what did they reply? We cannot help speaking about what we have heard and seen. You can't put a lid on this. It's just too fantastic. Not even death could stop them. All of them faced a martyr's death except John. There's an old pastor in our synod years ago who used to teach here at the college and seminary named Norman Madsen. In one of his sermons, he says this: "If you feel no urge to be along bearing the torch of truth into the dark corners of the earth, my dear hearer, I would ask you to examine yourself whether you be in the faith." How can those of us who have seen the light of God's grace not want to, in some way, shape, or form, be involved in bringing it to the masses in this world who still live in darkness? And that's what the gospel does. It automatically produces this spark in us to want to bring this truth to others. Now, God has picked some what seem to be kind of strange ways to get his grace out into the world and to get Christ out into the world. Go and make disciples, baptizing, just taking some water and speaking some words. How strange that seems to us sometimes. Luther said, "If God had told you to go pick up a feather and tear it in half in order to find his grace, just think how you would treasure that feather. You'd put it in a gold box with glass casing and take very good care of it, wouldn't you?" But instead, he's told us something maybe even stranger than tearing a feather. Take some water and use my words, and the power of the Holy Spirit will be there to create faith. Holy baptism is a self-perpetuating sacrament. Just like the human body is typically created with the ability to procreate and create another body from it again, so it is with the life-giving sacrament of holy baptism. When it touches an individual and brings them to Christ and dresses them in the robe of his righteousness, one of the things it does is it empowers that very soul and heart to want to find someone else to be baptized too. And so the church is always procreating itself through these precious means of grace that God has given. Just think how fantastic it is. Of all the people that are out there in the world, that you and I right now sitting in this sanctuary, that we have by God's grace come to know the true God and the way to salvation, and that we have heaven just waiting for us like a present. John says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." We people who had no other greatness over anybody else and who have just as many sins as everybody else, who are going to die just like everybody else. But what manner of love the Father has lavished on us that we get to be called the children of God and to now have the wonderful privilege of helping others into that boat of salvation. So in whatever way, shape, or form we do it, even if it's just through our prayers, let's go and make disciples of all nations. Amen. Please join me then in the responsory and collect as you find it on page 128. And let us rise. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Keep us, O Lord, as the apple of your eye. Hide us under the shadow of your wings. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer and let my cry come to you. O Lord, visit this dwelling and drive far from it all snares of the enemy. Let your holy angels dwell with us to preserve us in peace. And may your blessing be upon us evermore through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Preserve us, O Lord, while waking, and guard us while sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Preserve us, O Lord, while waking, and guard us while sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Let us bless the Lord. The Almighty and Most Merciful Lord, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us. Amen. We close with the final verse of our hymn.